Philip Van Winkle is in a study of the book of Jude. Here's Philip.
Thank you for joining us today as we continue to study the book of Jude. We got down to verse 3 of the book of Jude last time. We remember that the theme was found actually there in verse 3. The theme being the faith that had one time been delivered to the saints. There was not going to be any more faith added to it. And then he says that we are to contend for that faith. So as we start then talking today in verse 4, he's going to tell us why we should contend for it. And he's going to make it known to us what will happen if we do not continue to contend for it. What the results were back then of the people who refused to contend for the faith. And he'll even use some Old Testament people as well, examples to show his point. So let's go ahead and start in verse 4. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." There are those even today in the Lord's church, as Jude is writing here, who do the same thing. They justify their evil actions. They say, well, you know, the grace of God, that's what this says, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They say, well, the grace of God is just going to cover my sin, so I don't necessarily need to worry about when I sin. I can just depend upon His grace and keep living how I choose to live. But folks, God's grace has never, not ever, not one time, was it ever used or shown as an incentive to continue sinning. It is always used as the opposite of that. God's grace is used for us as an encouragement not to sin. And that's what Paul would say in writing to the Romans, should we continue in sin, that grace may abound. Meganeta, or God forbid. Absolutely not. Never let it be that we just take advantage of the grace of God and turn it into lasciviousness. And that's what these men were doing. Well, what's the result of living a life of sin, claiming that God is just going to save you whenever you do what you want? Well, notice it says, denying the only Lord, our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, John had talked about those who had denied the Lord, and he refers to them as Antichrist. And so those who will continue to deny the Lord by their actions, those who will continue to not stand for the faith that was once delivered, we're talking about the same group of people, people who are opposed to Christ. And so look at verse 5. It says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this." So they already knew the stuff that he was writing. Sometimes we're very forgetful people. We get busy living our lives, and if we don't constantly remind ourselves of things that are important, we could easily forget. And so he's going to remind the brethren of some things that they needed to remember. In this book, we have said time and again that Jude uses like groups of three. We call them, I think, trilogies, but really just groups of three to sort of help prove his point, to sort of help it keep some sort of a logical order in his mind and possibly in their minds. And so he's going to use three different examples here. He says, "I therefore will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt," here's the first one, "He saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Well, what's the point? Just as the Lord saved those people out of the land of Egypt, once they turned their backs on God, God destroyed them. And just like today, as He has saved you and me out of our sins, if you and I, we reach a point where we turn our backs on God, where we just live our lives the way we want to live them, regardless of what the Bible says, then when the end comes, we will be destroyed as well. And so he says how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that is, they were once saved, but afterward he destroyed them that did not believe. Folks, there's no sense of once saved, always saved in this passage, is there? They had one time been saved, but now they were destroyed. And now he comes to example number 2 in verse 6. He says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." The very same ones who were actually literally in heaven, the same God who cast those angels out of heaven because they left their habitation, that same God, if you forsake your habitation, if you forget about doing what God says, if you just want to live your life the way you want to live it, regardless of what God says, you have the same condemnation as those angels who are awaiting their judgment. And now he comes to verse 7 and he uses his third example. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." We know the evil that Sodom and Gomorrah did. Genesis chapter 14, really through chapter 19, Lot and everything that happened with them, and we're not going to go into great detail about it, but you'll remember that his wife died, turned into salt. Lot was rescued with two of his daughters, and later on we see that his own daughters were immoral, and they even bore children after their own father. And so this says that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. But look at this phrase, "giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh." You know, sodomy is a type of fornication. Fornication is just the broad word that includes every act of a sexual relation that is outside of marital bonds. That would include then homosexuality and other forms of sexual sins. And God would not tolerate it. And these people sinned. They gave themselves over to fornication. You know, as I think about the situation that we are in here in America and perhaps in other nations as well, but specifically here in America, you know, we've done the same thing. We have completely given ourselves over to fornication. I wonder how long God's grace will continue to allow America to be as prosperous as we are. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to stand, because we're going down the exact same road that Sodom and Gomorrah went down. And so in this book, as we have seen now, he has used these three examples to prove, hey, just because one time you're okay, just because one time you believe, that doesn't mean that you're going to be saved for all time. We need to do what God says always, constantly, living as he says. He uses these three examples. Those who were saved from Egypt, but they forgot about God. Those who once were angels, but they forgot about God. And those in Sodom who forgot about God so much that they only really wanted to serve themselves. Now look, verse 8. "Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh." These filthy dreamers, they spend their time imagining some sort of evil, some new way of sensuality, something that they can do that can please themselves, something that they can do that will bring them some perverted type of pleasure, but God sees them as they are. And so it may be the case that you have something in your mind that you're going to do that you think, well, I'm just going to do this and it'll bring me pleasure, and no one will ever know about it, or maybe people will know about it, but you don't care. Well, I want you to know something. God still sees you for who you are. And he sees these people for who they are, and he calls them defilers of the flesh. But notice what the next step is. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Despising dominion, that is, they don't like people to tell them what to do. You ever know anyone like that? Hey, don't you tell me what to do. You live your life if you want to live it, but don't you tell me what to do. Well, why is that? because likewise they are filthy dreamers defiling the flesh. So they don't want you to tell them what they need to do. And then what happens after that? Not only do they not want you to tell them what to do, but go ahead and follow it to its logical conclusion, they speak evil of dignities too. That is, they don't respect any authority. And so there's another three things that Jude says. First of all, they are defilers of the flesh. Secondly, they despise dominion. And then third, they speak evil of dignities. These people don't respect authority. They haven't accepted God as their authority. They haven't accepted Him for some time, and they don't like it when they are told that they need to do something, that they need to change the way that they're living. And today, folks, there are preachers who are just as guilty of this immorality in this very country as those people who are walking down the road living their life however they want to. Why? Why is that? Here's why. Because it was preachers who first gave up the authority of God's Word. When a person refuses to accept the authority of God, it will not be long until a rejection of all authority is out the window too. When a preacher says, you know, listen, I know that the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but that is not really what the Bible means. You got that? A preacher says, I know the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but that is not really what it means. Well, preacher, you me, I can read something in the Bible, and if I don't like it, I can say, well, that's not really what it means. I can just go on and live my life the way I want to. Well, that's great news. Preachers have started the whole thing. They may not have meant that to be the outcome, but that's the outcome. When you throw the first part of authority away, you are giving everyone else a right to throw away the Scriptures as well. And if you get to pick and choose what ones you like, then they do as well.